It's a warm place of fellowship and a place we always desire to go. Inspiring zeal for the ongoing work of the church. So I meditated on this subject and pondered the blessings that we have and have been experiencing in church life. Just had a cry out to God and thank Him for all the blessings that we do enjoy and the wisdom of God in establishing and showing us His will for His people. Throughout the Old Testament dispensation, God dwelled among His people in the congregation of Israel, walked with His people. And as they labored together and fellowshiped together and fellowshiped with God, it was truly a blessing to them. And it continues to be God's will that His people worship together, support each other, exhort each other, build each other up in the New Testament dispensation. So we think of the subject tonight, inspiring zeal for the ongoing work of the church. You could raise the question, why should we need to even talk about inspiring zeal? When we think of all the blessings and benefits that the church is to the people of God, should not it be a spontaneous response? Shouldn't it be kind of an automatic thing that there would be a zeal there for the ongoing work? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a promise there in the scriptures that the work of the church will go on. You don't need to do a lot of studying history until you walk through the dark ages are referred to and see all the persecution that happened. One marvels at the miracle of the continuing of the Church of Jesus Christ, even through hard times. In fact, the church, we are told, expanded in difficult times like that. Well, just dissecting the title just a little bit, what's it mean to inspire? Webster says to inspire means to stimulate or impel to some effective effort, to stir up. So tonight we want to think about stirring each other up and impelling you into action. And what are we stirring for? We're stirring a zeal. He goes on and says that zeal is an intense enthusiasm, as in working for a cause, ardent endeavor, fervor. So the question I ask myself and I ask you here tonight, do you have an intense enthusiasm for the ongoing work of the church? An intense enthusiasm for the ongoing work of the church. Do you have an intense enthusiasm about anything? How many pickup truck owners do we have here tonight? A lot of pickup truck owners. So I suppose after service tonight, if I would just announce at the close that we're going to have a little discussion about pickup trucks in the back corner. Anyone that would like to get in on that discussion, just come on back. We're going to talk about which kind of pickup trucks are best. I'm guessing we could have some teenage boys and some school boys back there and maybe some young dads and some middle-aged dads and maybe some grandpas too that could get pretty enthused and excited about talking about pickup trucks. We can get enthused about what we're involved with or what we take interest in. How many seamstresses do we have here tonight? Any people that do any sewing? Yeah, a lot of hands go up. Bernina? Faf? Which kind of sewing machine shall we use? Sergers? I imagine if we invited the sisters to have a discussion about that, there could be some enthusiasm back in their corner where they talked about it. But could I get you all interested in talking about sewing machines and sergers? A little more likely I could get the sisters to help in the discussion about pickup trucks, but probably not that either. But we can get enthused about what we're involved with, what we pay attention to. How many born-again Christians do we have here tonight? Praise the Lord. How many enthusiastic born-again Christians do we have here tonight? Let's get those same hands up. How many of you here tonight think that if you're testifying and raising your hand that you are a born-again Christian, that you ought to be enthused about it? If you're in that class, stand up. Amen. How many of you here tonight who are enthused about being born again and a follower of Jesus Christ have been baptized into the church, the body of Christ? Praise the Lord. How many of you here tonight are enthused about being a part of the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. I wasn't sure if this message should be prepared to be shared as a revival or a booster shot. Probably some of both. I know that's what I need. While you're standing, listen to the words of this song. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Your courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be, he with the King of glory shall reign eternally." Stand up for Jesus. Get enthused tonight about being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Get enthused tonight about being a member of the body of Christ, his church on earth today. You may be seated. Unless it helps you to stay zealous and enthusiastic by staying standing. But tonight we have so much to rejoice in and be glad about when it comes to the ongoing work of the church, to be enthused about. Well, why a subject like this? Why do we need to be encouraged? We go to the scriptures and we're reminded that there are so many distractions and the possibility of becoming lax. In Revelation chapter 2, we have reference made to the church at Ephesus and we are told that they had left their first love. In Revelation chapter 3, we have reference made to the church at Laodicea. And we are told that they had become lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. And because of that, Christ was going to spew them out of his mouth. God was going to spew them out of his mouth. And don't we tonight recognize the tendency in the heart of every one of us to become lax? Not stay as zealous and enthusiastic about church, our spiritual life, as what we wish we would sometimes. And as much as what we know we should sometimes. And so it's good for us to be challenged, I guess, and reminded. The songwriter raised the question, where is the blessedness I knew when I first saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Our first point tonight, I think very foundational to inspiring zeal for the ongoing work of the church, is gave the point, number one, the church of Christ. I think it's very foundational for us to understand the biblical basis for the body of believers. We must be convinced it's God's will and plan for the church that there would be an organized body of believers. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ever since the calling of Abraham, God had a distinct and separate people on earth to preach his word, to promulgate his cause, and to glorify his name. And I believe the church of Jesus Christ is the body of God's people in this present dispensation. That is God's call to us here tonight. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Jumping down to verse 18, "But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they're all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." There are several figures in the New Testament that are used to characterize the church. One of them is in this passage, representing the church as a body, which has many members. And every member has an important role to fill. Other members depend upon that member. Members depend upon each other. One is not greater than the other. They are all very important in this body. Verse 25 reminds us of the purpose, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, we have another description. There it is referred to as a building. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, 21 and 22. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The church, a spiritual temple. Every one of us, a part of that building. As you become a part of the body, the building, the church of Jesus Christ. And so we have. And then also, we could go to Revelation. There's reference made to the body of believers being the bride of Christ, for whom he will come and gather unto himself. So that's God's plan for the church. I believe it's important for us to understand how God would have the church to function, that we would contribute in a way that is beneficial to the body. Second point, it's important that church must be built on scriptural principles. If we're going to build and inspire enthusiasm, this congregation of believers here tonight has to be satisfied that the body of believers, the church, the congregation of which you are a part, is endeavoring to build its future on the principles of God's word. It's so important, so foundational. It's so inspirational to me to gather with God's people, whether it's in the Sunday school hour, whether it's listening to the preaching of the word, the singing of hymns that give expression to what we feel in our hearts, and the spiritual journey that we're on. Wednesday evening services, studying Sunday school, our Bible study lessons together, and praying together with God's people. It's such an inspiration to be with the people of God. And if you're enjoying that rich fellowship, you are so blessed. And God wants you to give your best and your all to make a contribution. Your life and your experience and your contribution will be a blessing to others. It's such a blessing. To feel the love, to have the opportunity to express the love that flows
in a congregation of followers of Christ. The faith that we have, the faith in God, that is a challenge to each other. The importance of obedience to the Scriptures. We build on these principles and we develop a zeal for the work to go on and be preserved because we know what it means to us. And we're jealous that the cause is protected and advances for the benefit of our children and the generations to come. Again, as I reflect on the blessings that we experience and what has been handed to us, it is sobering to think about the stewardship responsibility that we have to preserve it and to hand it on and pass it on to the rising generation. If we're going to give something our all, we must be convinced it's of God and following God's blueprint. That is so important. Our third point this evening, we need loyal members of the body of Christ. We read the passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talked about the body and the need for each other, the responsibilities of each other. We need loyal members in the body of Christ. First of all, under that heading, we need leaders who have a servant role, serving a servant role, for the spiritual well-being of their people. Not as lords, but faithful shepherds, feeding the flock, leading them to green pastures and still waters. They need to be laborers together with the people. I have been blessed in our fellowship with the openness that I sense between leadership and the laity. And I believe it's how God would have it to be. May our leaders always be humble, be servants, labor among the people, and may the people feel comfortable in fellowshipping and sharing. We're laborers together in this important effort, in this important work. We need consistent administrative actions. We need our people to be well informed. Irregularities bring troubling into people's hearts. Irregularities in administration will cause us to lose zeal. More on that in just a bit. Secondly, under the same heading, we need loyal members of the body. We need willing workers. It's a privilege. Recognize it as a privilege to be a worker in the kingdom of God. It is a privilege. Be enthusiastic workers. Fill your role of duty. Give it your best. You're called upon to fill a role in the congregation. If you're called upon to be a trustee, give it your all. Put your best into it. Serve in that capacity. You're called upon to be the chorister. Earnestly seek God. What songs He would have you to lead. Stand up front and lead them with enthusiasm and zeal. It makes such a difference in the congregation. How I perform, how you perform in the responsibilities that are passed on to you. You can inspire zeal in others. If you're called on to be the janitor, do it with all your heart. Give it your best. Superintendent of Sunday school, share a devotional meditation. Give your heart to meditation. Study and bring something that will inspire. If it's a work day at church, a work day at school, come and get involved. Congregational decisions that are made. Things come up for discussion. Sometimes there's a vote taken, a decision is made. Support the decision. So important to maintain an upbeat mentality about the collective body of God's believer, and as we function as an organization. So I think of giving in, submitting. Sometimes those decisions come, we bring them up in a congregational meeting, we take a vote, and it passes. then we need to support it.
I remember a dear brother at a minister's meeting 25, 30 years ago. He came from another conference, and he gave an illustration. He said he was a part of I forget what conference it was, and they moved several states over and became a part of a different group. And where he came from, they had taught that they just kind of had a negative approach to the idea of having fundraisers to help to support the financial needs of a school. But someone suggested in their congregation that, how about we have a fundraiser, build up some funds for our school? Well, he voiced his opinion, how they looked at it, where he came from, and the discussion went on. And it finally was motion made, a second. They took a vote, and it passed to have a fundraiser to support their school. He said, I went home that night, and I told my wife, and the date was set. He said, I told my wife, he said, we're going to go and we're going to get there early. We're going to go and we're going to get there early. He said, when the morning came, it was a beautiful morning. We got up, we had breakfast, and we went. And he said, I didn't expect to be the first one, but he said, we were the first ones there. And he used that as an illustration. You know, how we hesitate to use personal illustrations. How that we need to be willing to submit ourselves in areas where it's not violating scriptural principles, the group decides something, get behind it and support it. Sometimes people might be tempted. I know another brother felt the way I did, and after the service is over, we don't do that. It kills enthusiasm and zeal for the congregation, the ongoing work of the church. Support decisions that are made in the congregation. Disappointing times do come in church life because we are human. Leaders are human. We are prone to making mistakes. So disappointments do come. How do we relate to them? I believe it's important for parents, for we parents, to relate to disappointments in church life in a constructive way, because it says volumes to our children. Remember, we want to maintain a zeal, inspired zeal for the ongoing work of the church. As I reflected on that, I thought of my experience growing up. When I was like 8 or 10 years old, we went to a little white stucco church on top of the hill, just about a mile from the church where I grew up. There in that little white church. And all at once, one Sunday morning, we left the same time. We only had a minute to church. So church would start at 9. We'd leave home 10 minutes of, 5 minutes of, get there in good time. We left the same time, but we went past the little white stucco church that morning. We drove another half hour to a church that started at 9:30. Next Sunday, as I recall, we probably went back to the little white church. And for about a year's time, we would leave home, and I wasn't sure which church we were going to go to. I was like 8, 9, 10 years old. Didn't make a big difference to me, and yet I grew up at the little white church, and that's where I went to Sunday school, and that's who I knew the best. But I come to realize, because I've listened to my parents talk about it, why they were driving past the little white stucco church and driving another half hour to go to church. They felt like they could no longer support the work there where they had taken us as children. As I reflect back now, it's because the little girls I sat next to in Sunday school in the primary class started to have cut hair. Homes started to have television. The Sunday school superintendent became an insurance salesman selling life insurance. I learned these things later on in life. I was only an 8, 9, 10-year-old. But my parents went through a disappointment. They stepped away from their peers, their relatives, their friends, because they saw a church that was apostatizing, departing from God's word. But they went and they joined this other church. I don't remember it happening. One Sunday we would stop there, another time we'd go past. One of my older brothers tells me today that one Sunday morning we left to go to church. We only had a minute and a half to church. We're about halfway there. And my dad says to my mother,
Where shall we go this morning? Where shall we go this morning?
I hope not many of you ever had to ask that question on your way to church, because it impacts your zeal and inspiration for church.
Where shall we go to church this morning?
My brother says, my mother said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said that was the last time he went to the little white church. We drove past the little white church and drove another half hour. And a number of months later, my parents transferred their membership. And we would go back occasionally to visit the little white stucco church a mile down the road. I share that because disappointments come. But I respect my parents today because they made a decision based on what they felt they needed to do to live the Bible and raise their family for the Lord. And they had a zeal and an inspiration that challenges my life today. As we grew up as children, when there was all-day meetings at Denver or at Blue Rock or something like that, once in a while we would go. Informative meetings. My parents hardly ever missed an informative meeting. We loaded the family up and we went to informative meetings. They had an interest in the church. They felt a kinship to the people of God. Ordinations. They would travel occasionally to an ordination, take the family along. They had an interest in the church, in the people of God. And I believe that interest and that zeal that they had for the people of God and the work of God served their family well to God's glory. Today, my siblings are all in the Anabaptist Church, Conservative Anabaptist Church, as far as I know. All my parents' grandchildren are in the Conservative Anabaptist Church. It makes a difference, brothers and sisters. The zeal that we have and the purpose of heart that we have. We are sending a tremendous message to our children in our support for the work of the church. The support for our local congregation, first of all, is most important. Keep a positive outlook, even in disappointing times. Move forward. Never violate scriptural principles or overlook sin. It's so important that dad and mom feel good about where they go to church. That is so important. You've all heard the saying, mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Dad ain't happy at church, ain't nobody happy at church in the family over the span of time. Your children, you are here tonight to have children growing up. They need to notice that you are supporting your church, you're enthused about your church, you're in there and you're involved. It's so important for their spiritual development. And for them to develop a concept of how they will support the church in their time. Yes, disappointments come. There are times when we need to prayerfully seek God's face and maybe even make a change in church fellowships. It needs to be done so prayerfully and so carefully. And maybe it's not always as defined as what it was when my parents left the little white stucco church. But my parents could have explained to an elementary student why they needed to change churches. And I would like to suggest tonight that if you feel compelled to change churches, I think there probably should be enough of scriptural reasons that you should be able to explain it to your elementary average student. Elsewise, get in there and support your congregation and the brotherhood, the body of believers that God has, by life's experiences, brought you to, if it's a Bible-believing church. Our fourth point, we need a zeal for giving. First of all, giving of ourselves. The Apostle Paul commended the church at Corinth that they first gave of their own selves and then of what they had. They had a willing mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 8,
and verse 5 and verse 12, they had a willing mind. We need to give our time, give our financial resources. Give as we are able. How much should we give? I ran across an interesting paragraph in the writings of Daniel Kaufman. As to the amount of our spiritual and material support of the church, that will take care of itself so long as we obey Bible instructions as to the motives and methods. Here is the New Testament standard. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8 says, "Freely have received, freely give." Matthew 19, 21, "Give to the poor." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, "Not grudgingly, as he purposeth in his heart, and cheerfully." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "To give to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, "Give as God hath prospered." Follow these standards, biblical standards, and neither God nor sensible men will ever find fault with you that you do not give enough. I thought that was pretty well put. We follow the biblical standard for giving, giving of ourselves, giving of our financial resources, whatever it might be. Give as the Lord enables you. Our fifth point, zeal for service opportunities. The cry for laborers goes on from generation to generation. There's many ministries that we can involve ourselves in. Christ's final command in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, while here on earth, was "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Maintain an enthusiasm for your local congregation and reach out to other congregations. Our children are mostly grown, but over the years we found it to be a real blessing to visit other congregations. Young families, take your family to another congregation for a Sunday morning service at least once a year. First, your first responsibility is at home. I want to underscore that. But there's a therapy, and it's just good for our children to broaden out bigger and larger than our own home congregations. Create friendships. Take your family to ordinations, not just at your congregation. I heard recently said that there was this congregation where there was 10, 12, 14-year-olds. When they had an ordination in the church, those 10, 12, 14-year-olds had never witnessed an ordination before. They should have been taken somewhere else, I think, maybe, if it's possible. Involve your family in the functions of the church. It'll help to inspire zeal for the work that's going on. If you have a zeal and you are inspired about the work of God, we've been given so much. Brothers and sisters, tonight we have a stewardship responsibility, individually and collectively, to preserve. And the best way to preserve what we've been given is to be zealous and enthusiastic about what we have and about church life. There's a sense in which Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, we get into the routine, but we must keep an enthusiasm and a zeal about it that keeps it alive. And that's an individual personal responsibility that we have. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It's hard work. It takes effort. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I'll close with the words of another song, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise,
and it cannot fail. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, praise, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Be a faithful warrior. Be a faithful soldier for Jesus Christ. Be an enthusiastic member of the body of Christ where God has planted you, determined to make a difference in the lives of the other members. Not to draw attention to yourself, but that God would be glorified, Christ would be glorified, others would be encouraged and exhorted and built up. That's God's plan for the church. God bless each one of you.